MyPillow is having their biggest bed sheet sale ever. The MyPillow Percale sheets are available in a variety of colors and all sizes are on sale. For example, the queen size regular price, $89.98, now is only $39.98 with your promo code REGULARJOE. Order now as there are a very limited supply. The MyPillow Percale sheets are breathable and have a cool, crisp feel. They have deep pockets to fit over any mattress. These come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code REGULARJOE to receive the MyPillow Percale sheets for as low as $29.98. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code REGULARJOE, or call 1-800-648-3665 and tell them to use the promo code REGULARJOE to get the lowest price ever on the MyPillow Percale sheets.
Fighting for truth, justice, and the American way. Without the cape or the superpowers, not even a sidekick. Heck, we don't even have fancy gadgets. This is just Joe and his trusty microphone, made in the USA. This is the Regular Joe Show.
Oh, suck it.
Joe Gigante, your regular Joe, here with you in this, your VIP backstage soundcheck podcast, exclusive to the wonderful, the awesome, truly the most splendiferous listeners, you, the merry band of regulars, wearing your gear here, there, and everywhere. I for those that haven't heard this segment, you weren't listening to the live show, and you haven't gotten to call her Andy today. He was confronting, that's too strong of a word. He was asking a question of a candidate for office wearing his regular Joe Show t-shirt, to which the candidate, a Republican, said, "Oh, you're one of those people." Yes, guilty by association. It's true. We have much... By the way, if you wish to be guilty by association, you can get a t-shirt. We've got hoodies, we got t-shirts, bumper stickers, coffee mugs, and Let's Go Brandon yard signs, all available now at Beautiful Things Boutique, three locations in the state of Wisconsin. Of course, you can order them online as well. The new store, you know, I'm a little embarrassed. The store should have been ready by now. I am the narrowing of the road, though. I'm the bottleneck that it didn't get to. I still have to approve a few things, and then it will be live. But in the meantime, there is a post on the website at regjoeshow.com, at regjoeshow.com, that has a bunch of our gear, pictures of our gear, and you can. There's instructions on how, if you want to get anything, you can order it that way. We have, of course, the new Live Life Boldly, the red, white, and blue Live Life Boldly t-shirts that we debuted at our Great American Birthday Bash. We have a big event coming up in September that I will be emceeing, and there we will debut our new hoodies. We will have Live Life Boldly hoodies. That's easy for me to say. What's a hoodly? I said hood. Anyway, Live Life Boldly hoodies, as well as Let's Go Brandon hoodies this year. Plus, we do still have some of the original, often imitated, never duplicated, regular Joe Show hoodies, plus the coffee mugs and the whole deal. So we always have those at our live events as well. So check it out. And, of course, I introduce today on the show my contract with conservatives. A proposal, now it's modeled for the state of Wisconsin, but obviously it can be updated to fit whatever state you live in and whichever ticket holders you want to have such a contract. But it's essentially the candidates endorsing the conservative voters, saying here will be our priorities in the first 100 days in office. If you haven't seen it, check it out, regjoeshow.com, R-E-G. joeshow.com. that is posted. The download is a little bit of a technical issue. They're working on it, but you can read the whole contract right there on the website. So where do we begin? And it's kind of a little bit of a hodgepodge of topicality that I want to cover in this podcast today, because we just couldn't get to quite all of it during the show. Now, as goes, I'd like to blame Steve for this, but I can't. I will anyway, but it's not fair, and I will be the first to admit it. I had a soundbite that I wanted to use during the show today that I'm going to use here, and I think it is the perfect illustration of what we want to avoid in the way of, well, frankly, subpar candidates running in the general. Now, we can't change who's running. The slates have been set in any state that's already had its primary. Now, if you haven't had your primary, it's an undefined quantity at this point, but soon enough it will be. This is, again, why I've come up with this contract, this pledge, because it says, here's what I believe in. And if you support me, I endorse you, because I know this is important to you, and if you vote for me, this is what you're going to get from me. Now, the reason this is important is because you don't want some mealy-mouthed person that says one thing here, something else there, and then a third thing to a different group. And as I've heard certain candidates in the not-too-distant past talking, it reminded me of an old skit from the Flintstones, where Fred Flintstone is a doppelganger for a successful CEO named J.L. Gottrocks. I love the names he used to come up with, you know. Even when they'd like have celebrities and they'd Flintstone-ize the name. Anyway, so J.L. Gottrocks has gone missing, and they need somebody to show up at the big important board meeting that looks just like him. And Fred Flintstone is a doppelganger. So, like, you're going to do it. We need you to do this. Well, of course, Fred is not a CEO. He doesn't know what to do. And this is what happens in that scenario.
Like him. Now, let's get on with the big meeting.
Now, wait a minute. I don't know anything about conducting a business meeting.
You don't have to know anything. All you got to say is, whose baby is that? What's your angle? And I'll buy that.
Whose baby is that? What's your angle? I'll buy that.
That's it. Great.
Old J.L. couldn't do better himself. Let's go.
Gentlemen, the meeting will now come to order. Let's hear from Mr. Stonehead first.
I'd like to open the discussion on the subject of the railway bonds in question.
Whose baby is that?
Mine, sir.
What's your angle?
I've completed some research and found the debentures are nil and the percentage yield is adequate. I would advise pro-rata distribution.
I'll buy that.
Thank you, sir.
What an executive Gottrocks is. Knows what it's all about.
No one like him. You're doing great, Flintstone. Keep it up.
Whose baby is that? What's your angle? I'll buy that. Whose baby is that? What's your angle? I'll buy that.
So, I mean, look, it makes you laugh, right? I love the Flintstones. I love the music. And one of my favorite, by the way, when Anne Margaret was on. And it was really Anne Margaret voicing the character, which kind of ahead of its time when you think about it. But anyway, she was Anne Margrock. That was anyway. So what is, we don't want a J.L. Gottrock, right? You don't want someone's like, what do I say to get people to vote for me? All right, I believe in that. What do you say? Okay, I'll buy that. This is what we're trying to avoid. So to have clarity, you have to define it. So check it out. As I said, it's modeled from our state of origin, Wisconsin. Because, well, it makes sense. It's something that can be adopted state by state. It's at regjoshow.com. We'll have to save, by the way, save that sound for tomorrow. We'll use it on the broadcast show as part of our Open Line Friday. Now, sorry. I mean, does that bring anyone to mind for you, Steve? It's not too far off, I don't think. But anyway. So, I mentioned going out at the end of the show. I wanted to bring up Mike Pence gave a speech yesterday. I'm not clear where it was, but it doesn't really matter. And he had two things to say, I think, of note. The first was on the question of testifying in front of the J6 committee. Cut 19. This is what he had to say.
If there was an invitation to participate, I would consider it. Any invitation to be directed to me, I would have to reflect on the the unique role that I was serving in as vice president. It'd be unprecedented in history for a vice president to be summoned to testify on Capitol Hill. But I, as I said, I don't want to prejudge.
Well, that's good that you don't want to prejudge. By the way, I mean, the excitement, the energy that he was exuding in that, you know, really gets you moving. But here's my thing. I am all for the rule of law, truly. But the rule of law is not a one-way street. I mean, it is in places like East Germany or the former East Germany, and the still is in Russia, even though it's the former USSR. I mean, this is a real situation where you have an out-of-control Congress doing things, completely flouting any sense of the rule of law, any sense of decorum, and for that matter, legality in what they're doing. Why would you even consider giving credence to that? Your unique position is not only a reason you shouldn't do it, it should help you to understand it. Because after all, that's what you're claiming, right? We're the rule of law. I mean, he says that in a soundbite I'm gonna play for you. Now, he says it's unprecedented. Well, yeah, no kidding. All of it is unprecedented. It was politics and eggs breakfast at St. Anselm College in New Hampshire. That is where he made these comments. You know, and one of my, and again, I don't have any personal problem with Mike Pence. I think he's probably a pretty nice guy. I think that he struggles with something I don't understand. And I see it so often in public situations, particularly Republicans in elected office. They're always so worried about how we're going to be perceived. Normally, they're worried about how we're going to be perceived by people that would never vote Republican if their life depended on it. And I don't understand that. Why do you care so much about someone that isn't going to support you? That is usually diametrically and vehemently opposed to everything you believe in. Why is it so important to you that they like you? Or that they think you're okay? That you're not one of those extreme crazies? I mean, I struggle with trying to understand where that need comes from. It's not one that I suffer from. So, I mean, perhaps it's a sign that I have a deep-seated issue or two. Maybe. I don't know. But he wasn't done at this speech he gave at St. Anselm's. He said, and I played this in the show, but I want to expound on it a little more. Because, again, in this effort to be perceived as calm, cool, 30,000 feet, they end up saying things that are unnecessary. And by unnecessary, they serve no real purpose, no meaningful purpose, as far as I can tell, in terms of moving not just the dialogue, but the philosophy forward. I had somebody challenge me by text or by email during the show, and they were espoused. So Ron Johnson, Senator Ron Johnson, had been on the show a few weeks ago. He said something that made national news, which is basically the fact that we should defund Social Security and look at privatization because there's issues. It's insolvent. It's gonna go away all on its own if we don't do anything. And they said, "Oh, that's a recipe for disaster. Democrats are just going to run and say he wants to get rid of Social Security." Now, first of all, let me tell you what Democrats are going to do. Whatever the hell they want to do. We've got to stop thinking. This is not playing chess. This is not being strategic. This is being their itch. I'll put it that, kids. I mean, I refuse to do this. Yes, we have to be aware of how they're going to try to move the chess pieces. And you try to have a strategy that beats them at their own game. You're not beating them at their own game by constantly worrying about every word that comes out of your mouth that they might want to twist and turn into a campaign ad against you if, in fact, you're standing on principle in speaking to the true, the good, and the beautiful. And this is where I get frustrated. I'm going to use his soundbite as an example. But to the Social Security thing, long before I ever heard the name Ron Johnson, I supported the privatization of Social Security. First and foremost, it's not the government's role. It's not their job. It's not going to ever work as long as the government's in control of it. Second of all, as evidenced out of the country of Chile, it works if you privatize it. Get it out of the government's hand. You had the average equivalent to a blue-collar worker in Chile retiring as a multimillionaire courtesy of privatized retirements getting away from Social Security. So, again, there's a roadmap to it. That Ron Johnson sees the value in it, wonderful. I support him in it. But let me tell you something. For the past 12 years, whether it's Ron Johnson passing flatulence or making a statement, the left to try to take everything the guy says and does and twist it into something negative. If we constantly roll around simply trying to find a way to pacify the left, we might as well stop speaking altogether. We might as well just say what they want us to say. Because that's that, and even then they're not going to be pacified. Now, again, you don't go in running towards the gunfire without any plan and without any defense, because that's how you get mowed down. But I think people are clever by half and they overthink it. They constantly overthink, and then they give in, and they give in ways that's unnecessary. Like buying into the narrative that the average conservative wants to do harm to the rank and file members of the FBI. This is a fallacious, stinking pile of crap from the left-wing mainstream legacy media. And here you have Mike Pence playing right into it, cut number 18.
I also want to remind my fellow Republicans, we can hold the Attorney General accountable for the decision that he made without attacking rank and file law enforcement personnel at the FBI. The Republican Party is the party of law and order. Our party stands with the men and women who serve on the thin blue line at the federal and state and local level. And these attacks on the FBI must stop. Calls to defund the FBI are just as wrong as calls to defund the police.
All right, so a couple things here. First of all, they're not mutually exclusive. Yes, we stand on the thin blue line with our federal and state local law officers. But you know what we never do? We don't cover up for bad ones. We can stand on that line, and like the best of them that serve on that line, they're more than willing to call out the bad ones because they do in everybody. That's number one. So again, it's like a frying pan depth level of logic. And I expect more out of Mike Pence because he's not a dumb man. He's an intelligent guy. He understands these issues. He should be able to articulate it more effectively and more accurately. Second of all, this is not just Merrick Garland. The FBI has been involved in trying to change the outcome of the past three elections. That is not acceptable. 2016, 2020, and now in 2022. And that wasn't just Merrick Garland, because it wasn't just Merrick Garland in the role of Attorney General. It is the leadership. The senior leadership of the FBI has proven themselves to be corrupt. Christopher Wray, Peter Strzok, others. Several others. So, you're right. We can call out corruption, and that's not the equivalent of insulting every member of the FBI. Thank you, Mike. You just proved my point, as I just said exactly what needs to be said. But this is where we pander to the left, to the so-called mainstream media and mainstream thought. And in doing so, we're perpetuating their myth. We're perpetuating their lies. And that is not acceptable. We have to do better. That's not engaging in the battle. And to the final point, I myself have said, let's defund the FBI. And I stand by it, and let me explain why. And to compare that to the moronic ravings of left-wing lunatics, well, defund the police. It's their fault that, you know, somebody with a gun got shot. No, again, you're not even using the gift of logic that God's given you to try to draw the parallels. Because as I articulate, and as others have, to do what we're proposing, you would have to put together a stopgap situation, some kind of temporary law force that could take the, you know, the place of the FBI while you defund and reorganize it. And as a matter of fact, the defunding is a specific request tied to the fact that if Merrick Garland, Christopher Wray, and these people won't come clean and answer the questions of Congress, then Congress is given the power of the purse strings in many regards so they can do just that. So they can say, okay, you don't want to do the job you're hired for? You have no money. Let's see you do the job now. You want to know how you get rid of the Department of Education? Defund it. Get rid of it. They have no money. They can't pay people. They can't interfere in education any longer. But that's an aside. And no one's saying defund it to get rid of law enforcement. No, they're saying get rid of the corruption. Get rid of the cancer that is metastasizing through the body of the Department of Justice and through the FBI at a really scarily rapid rate. Start over from scratch and rebuild. It's right in our Constitution. It says, look, when there's a proscription for our entire government, much less one body, that when they cease to serve the interests of the people, it isn't just a thought. They say it's our obligation to tear down those pieces of government and rebuild them. And that is what we're talking about when we say what we do about the FBI. And if you don't understand that, Michael Pence, then you have fallen from where you once were. Again, I think you're a smart man. I think that you've had strongly conservative values for a good deal of your public life. And I don't understand this almost compulsive need of Republicans, particularly those that have spent any particular amount of time in Washington, D.C., to want to be loved. Oh, I'm going to say it this way because I want to seem as though I'm reasonable. I'm just perfectly, you know, we're just getting drinks in the country club. And, you know, we're talking about these things. Oh, that's wonderful. I think that what you really need to understand is that we're all good people in our hearts and our minds, Democrats and Republicans alike. And we just want to do the right thing. Yes and no is my answer to that. Because I'm going to tell you something. There are people in this world that aren't good people. And that's not a problem calling it out. And again, our opposition has no problem doing it. So I would, and I'm using this as an example, because this is why they strike this temperament where, well, I mean, you know, look, I mean, I did the best I could, and, you know, let's not get crazy here. Let's keep the FBI. Let me tell you something. Nancy Pelosi is not a good person. Chuck Schumer, not a good person. They're not doing things because they want to see what they can do best, how they can best serve humanity. Adam Kinzinger, also on that list. I'd put Marble Mouth, Mitch McConnell. He's potentially on that list. These are not people that when I look at them, I think, you know what, in their heart of hearts, they really love this country and they're just trying to make things better. That's not the impression I get. And by saying that, that doesn't make me a bad person. It makes me honest. Because if you don't look at a situation honestly, you're never going to deduce it. And look, don't take my word for it. James Carville was on, did an interview with The Hill. They have, you know, nowadays newspapers have gone multimedia because nobody wants to read the rags. He did an interview with them, and he got into this whole thing about, well, we have our crazies, they have their crazies. But interestingly enough, he strikes a tone not unlike something I've tried to explain to you. But he, of course, he does a 180 on what's just silly, crazy, and what's evil crazy. I'll let him speak, and then I'll respond. Cut number 23.
And let me say, when they say, James, we have our crazies, but look, you have your crazies, you know, and it's, you know, what pronoun you have, or veganism or something. The problem is people who believe in that are just silly, all right? People that believe that the election was stolen and have a right to storm the Capitol, which is a substantial number of people in the Republican Party, are evil. Our people are kind of silly. There are people actually, racism is evil. All right, misogyny is evil. I'm sorry. A pronoun is, to me, is, okay, fine. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, if you want to be a vegan, I don't care, eat what you want to eat. All right, but that's not the same thing. Hmm. All right, it's just not. Hmm. Yet the media it is addicted to both sides. Well, you have your crazes and they have their crazes. What the hell's the difference? Hmm. A lot.
He's right about one thing. There is a lot of difference. Now, I love that he breaks it down, that in his mind, the difference between left and right are people that are vegan and want to choose odd pronouns versus a bunch of racist misogynists. Interesting. I think that's a little bit oversimplified, even for James Carville. Let's talk about what's evil. What does the left believe? The left believes that men should be able to compete in women's sports, that they should be able to walk around with their ding-dang hanging out in a woman's locker room, and if you're offended by that, then you're the problem. Ask the 80-year-old lady at the YWCA that they threw out, because she complained there was a dude in the women's locker room, and he was a dude, verifiably, and they went after her. The left believes that you should be able to take the life of an unborn child up until the moment that they're being born. Well, I'm sorry, let me correct that. To the moments and minutes and hours after they were born. Just ask former Governor Northam out of Virginia, who articulated it quite clearly. They think that's silly crazy. Not evil. That's silly crazy in their mind. They think you should be able to marry whatever it is that you love, be it a tree, a truck, or anything else in the meanwhile. They believe that we should have 87,000 armed IRS agents going after the middle class, the backbone of our society, but not fund a wall or security to our southern border. They believe they have the right to take away your rights to your health, to your mobility, enforce upon you untested jabs, untested and unsustainable forms of energy in the form of electric vehicles and such, as opposed to drilling and actually using cheap energy in the form of fossil fuels. We can go down the litany of what the left really, what they really believe. Ultimately, objectively speaking, let's just, for the sake of it, let's go with the Ten Commandments as our guide. I mean, after all, they are inscribed in the wall of the Supreme Court. I mean, if we do that just briefly, let's talk about what is good and what is evil, right? Now, it does say in the good book that there will be a time where good will be called evil and evil will be called good. I think we're living in that time. That's just my opinion. Using the Ten Commandments as our guide. The first three, of course, have to do with faith. We'll go past those for right now because, again, we don't want to, not that I'm not a man of faith, but we'll just go to the basics, right? The fourth commandment, honor thy mother and father. Well, given what the left believes, that parents' rights don't mean anything, but public school teachers know better, whether it's on your children's sexuality, what they are taught, what they know, what they're led to believe, they don't respect that commandment at all. Number five, thou shalt not commit murder. Which is, by the way, the clear, if you go to the original text, the translation is not really kill, it's murder. And there's an important difference there. Well, I mean, we could talk about the left's support for abortion, the left's support for euthanasia, the left's support for all kinds of killing. No question there. Number six, thou shalt not commit adultery. I'll just let that one stand there. And look, there's Republicans guilty of that too, but I'm just going to say the left is not the bastion of the nuclear family. Number seven, thou shalt not steal. See our conversation of a few minutes ago about taxation and about the Inflation Steroid Act, the CHIPS bill, and all these other things that are adding any number of taxes and expenses to the average person. Stealing isn't just, I mean, it could be just going and taking people's food or money out of their pocket, but there's other forms of stealing, and they're pretty good at it. Number eight, you should not bear false witness against your neighbor. You know, kind of like the government disinformation board. You shall not covet thy neighbor's wife. There's a few jokes I want to make in that, but I'm just going to go past it and just say both sides can improve, no question. Number 10, shall not covet your neighbor's goods. You mean like we need equality and equity. We need to make sure everybody gets what they want. And if white people have it, we should take it from them. And if white people have a job and they've been there longer, but we should still fire them because that somehow makes it equal for non-white people. Yeah, I'm just going to go with that guide alone. I think it's pretty clear. And that's an objective guide. It's not mine. I didn't write those. I didn't come up with them. Objectively speaking, we know what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil. We have to make the decision and the choice. Now, I get what Carville's doing. He's a spin meister. That's what he does. He's trying to make it over. Oh, just silly people that can't figure out if they're a guy or a girl and they want a vegan or meat. Whatever. Yeah, he left out all the big ones. And he did it on purpose. But we're not that easily fooled into what Mike Pence is saying and so many others that are so consumed with making sure people think they're good people and they're not silly, crazy people. Like Jim Carville just tried to outline. My thing is, what I just outlined to you, if that's something you're afraid to stand up for, the problem isn't with those rules. The problem isn't with an understanding of objective good and evil. The problem is with a weakness of conviction to stand up for what is true, what is good, and what is beautiful. That's how we got to where we are today. If we want to get out of this, well, they say that the legal definition of insanity is doing the same thing over again and hoping for a different outcome. Well, I would say to all those weak-kneed Republicans that are more worried about being liked and understood and feeling good about themselves, you might be bordering on that legal definition of insanity. What we need to do is to speak the truth with conviction. Stand up for what is good, what is true, and what is beautiful. And let the chips fall where they may. If we do, well, then you'll be doing those three words that I always finish this with. Live life boldly. See you tomorrow, everyone.